In a recent Quinnipiac University poll of seven states, Florida Governor Rick Scott surfaced as the most disliked governor. 45% of respondents said they just didn't like him. But his job approval ratings have seen a 6-point increase since May. Rick Scott is the former CEO of a healthcare chain who rode that wave of Tea Party discontent into office last November. Let's check in on how he's doing with Michael Bender, who works in the State Capitol Bureau of both the Miami Herald and the St. Petersburg Times. Michael, first explain that disconnect. Scott, the most disliked, but his job approval numbers have gone up.
First off, he couldn't drop much further. His staff thought his approval ratings were probably right around 35 the last time Quinnipiac polled him. In fact, three of the four polls, he's been at 35%, except for the one which he was at 29. The Democrats used the opportunity to suggest that his rise in the polls was due to his week-long vacation in Montana, saying Floridians like it when he's out of the picture, out of the state.
So they approved of him leaving the state. But, his supporters are ardent. So let's take a look at why and why he's so controversial. Even before he was elected, in his role as a CEO of a healthcare chain, give us a mini profile. Who's Rick Scott?
He grew up poor in public housing in the Midwest, put himself through school, is a trained mergers and acquisitions attorney, bought a couple of hospitals in Texas as a young man, merged them, used the savings to buy another hospital, merged those, and repeated this process until he literally had the world's largest hospital chain. That came tumbling down in 97 when he paid a record Medicare fraud fine, $1.7 billion.
He actually resigned in this scandal over his company's business and Medicare billing practices, but still had quite a fortune. He spent close to $80 million of his own money on his campaign for governor. And before he won, had formed Conservatives for Patients' Rights. This was in 2009. This was to fight the President Obama's Health Care Act. So he came into office with that as his bumper sticker and made national news when he rejected more than $2 billion in federal stimulus funds for a high-speed rail project, and along with 25 other states, joined the lawsuits over part of the Affordable Care Act.
Even during the campaign, he almost ran more against Obama than he did against his Democratic opponent, and put himself in the position where rejecting that high-speed rail money was really the only decision he could make. Looking back on it, a few months later, he is getting some credit for doing that. The federal government has had its credit rating drop, making his argument that this is a government we don't want to rely on for what was a $2.5 billion project.
Well, your paper took a look at Governor Scott's claim that even if they took the high-speed rail money, they'd have to pay an additional $1 billion to build the high-speed railway. Your PolitiFact Truthometer at the St. Petersburg Times debunked that and said that that's not quite true. And as we said, very much against taking any money that's associated with health care. Isn't he also asking his own legislature to now allow millions in U.S. grants because he recognizes that the state needs it for home care for the elderly? And these were items that were voted down by the legislature because they felt that anything that might be tied to the new law should be refused. But is he realizing they need some of that money?
Yeah, the governor is definitely finding that governing is quite a bit different from campaigning. After insisting that he would reject the stimulus money in the state budget, he allowed about $350 million in this year. And when it comes to this federal health care money you're talking about, he hasn't quite decided yet whether he's going to ask the legislature for it, but in a state that repeatedly has to make up billions of dollars of shortfalls in these recent years, it certainly can help in Florida.
Some of the money would be, for instance, for care for abused children. So he's weighing whether to ask the legislature to maybe take some of that federal money. But he's also facing several lawsuits now for policies already enacted, among them a law that would prevent doctors from asking their patients if there are guns in the home. And he also signed into law the requirement to drug test state workers and welfare recipients. Here's how he described that law on CNN.
Studies show that people on welfare are using drugs much higher than the population. But the bottom line is, if they're not using drugs, it's not an issue. Our taxpayers don't want to subsidize somebody's drug addiction. It's going to increase personal responsibility. It's the right thing to do for Floridians.
Now, there was criticism about this law originally because it turns out Rick Scott founded a company that would do the testing. He moved his interest in that company into his wife's name. But are there any questions about what happens if someone on welfare tests positive? Are those people just thrown off the rolls and, one would presume, onto the streets if they are drug addicts? I mean, what are people asking? How are people responding to that aspect of the law?
Basically, that's right. First of all, he did end up selling that chain of healthcare clinics that he owned and that he had put into his wife's name. The public backlash on it, he just had too many questions about how that company would benefit from some of his healthcare changes. But yeah, if you fail the drug test right now, you're not getting any assistance from the state. There are provisions in there that you can come back and be retested over a certain amount of time, and that you can essentially have another family member or a guardian type person get your assistance for you, but that person would have to pass his own drug test and go through the process as well.
What do voters in Florida think about this requirement?
Voters love this. The specific policies from Rick Scott that get tested in these public polls usually soar through the roof, whether it's cutting salary and cutting retirement benefits for state workers or this drug testing idea. It scores through the roof. And, I mean, when you think about it, do you want to give tax money to someone on drugs? Of course not. But the reality is it's not quite as simple as that. And there's been some studies showing that the percentage of welfare recipients using drugs isn't necessarily any higher than the general populace. And the financial benefits here are questionable, too. The recipient has to pay for his own drug test unless it comes back clean. In that case, the state would reimburse the person for their drug test. So if only a fraction of these are coming back negative or dirty, then this is going to be another expense for the state.
Well, but if people approve of the law itself, if you say that some of these policies, mm-hmm. and perhaps the other one is not allowing doctors to ask if there's a gun in the home, which some people think should be part of a health exam, if there's soaring approval for the policies, why the disconnect? Why such little approval for him as a person?
Well, that's a good question, and some of it has been the delivery. And certainly there are other policies that don't quite get tested. The cutting retirement benefits for state workers probably test different if you ask if you want to cut retirement benefits for teachers, police officers, and firefighters. Most people think the state should have a balanced budget and not pay for things it can't afford. Although, if you ask whether the state should cut its rates to care for developmentally disabled people, that probably wouldn't show up as high. And in fact, the governor did cut rates for the developmentally disabled in Florida in mid-year and all of a sudden had an office full of children in wheelchairs along with their parents, which made for a public relations disaster for him for a few days. We are seeing some changes here, not quite in policy yet. As you mentioned, the health care money, we'll see if he asks the legislature for that money. But in the meantime, he's a kinder, gentler, more likable Rick Scott. He's lost his suit and tie in place of an open collar. He's engaging more with media and just generally seems more relaxed.
That's Michael Bender. He reports on Florida politics from the State Capitol Bureau, a joint venture of the Miami Herald and the St. Petersburg Times. On the controversial governor, Rick Scott. Michael, thanks so much.
Thank you.